Let us pray. God of creation, in the beginning your spirit breathed over the waters, and you brought forth life. Recreate us by your word. Baptize us in your grace. Bring us to new life, and kindle us in your love for all your people. In the name of Christ, amen. A reading from Romans. The spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through God's spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not defined by our flesh, to live as if we are merely self-contained bodies. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the desire simply to preserve your body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from the second volume of Luke's Gospel, the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost had come. All the disciples were gathered together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like the rush of a mighty wind. And divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, a tongue of flame on each of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, in Jerusalem, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And at this noise, they came together. And they were bewildered because they heard the disciples speaking in all of their own languages. And they were amazed and astounded and said, "How could this be? Aren't they Galileans? How is it that we hear them in all of our languages?" There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia and Asia, Pontus, Phrygia, Phrygia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Arabs, Cretans. They were all hearing in their own languages the glorious deeds of God.
Nos oímos hablar de obras del poder de Dios en nuestra propia lengua.
From Zimbabwe, from Peru, from the Philippines, from China, they were all hearing in their own languages. They were amazed. And they asked one another, "What could this mean?" Of course, there was somebody who said, "Ah, they're just drunk." But then Peter, standing with the 11, stood up and raised his voice and said, "No. People of Jerusalem, all of you from Judea, listen to me. Hear what I have to say. These people are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel."
Thank you.
thus it shall be in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old shall see visions and your young will see dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about speaking in tongues, what we usually have in mind is glossolalia, that experience most often in Pentecostal churches, ecstatic utterances of prayer in which not only none of the surrounding people, but even the speaker themselves understand what is being said. But the original experience at Pentecost was exactly the opposite. It was people making understood in other people's languages what otherwise would not have been understood, making it clear to people in new languages. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not some friendly ghost floating around. The Spirit is God. And God is in us because it is God's breath that makes us alive. If you're alive, you have the Holy Spirit. And because there's one Spirit, we are all part of one living being. So all the people that you witness are just different manifestations of the same Spirit of which you are a manifestation. The work of the Spirit is to connect us, to make us one. Part of human nature is that I tend to think of my own life and my own way of being and my own experience as what's normal and everybody else is weird. And we all do that. So if I were to say, I'm going to tell a joke. Once upon a time, a guy walks into a bar. Imagine that guy. I bet he's white. I bet he's straight. I bet he's American. We just think that way. We just automatically put things in our own experience. So we start thinking that this is normal and everything else is not. Part of what that does is it hurts people because then I start thinking that unless you're like me, you're not as real or as important as I am. And so we start valuing certain people over other people. And boy, do we ever have a lot of those categories of other. That's part of why we have such a hard time with racism and sexism. Because I've already identified what is normal as male. So all the females miss out. I've also identified it as white. And straight, and middle class, and able-bodied, and see how all those things add in? And the problem, then, is that when I encounter somebody who's different, what I'm aware of are all those differences. And it makes me uncomfortable. Because I'm not quite sure how to connect across that gap. That gap is where love happens. Because most of the time, if I hang out with people that are just like me, what I'm really doing is hanging out with projections of myself. But love is setting myself aside and reaching out in care for somebody else's well-being who's different from me. And sometimes it's those differences that actually make it love, not just patting myself on the back for being who I already am. One of the most profound ways to experience the love of God is in relationship with somebody who's different than the way you are. Because that's when we really experience that God does not love me for being white or male or 62 or American or middle class or able-bodied or fairly articulate or all those things. God loves me because I'm God's, period. And it's only when I can see that love in somebody else that doesn't match all those categories, it's only when I can express love for that person and acknowledge God's love for that person that actually I can really trust God's love for me. It's only when I know that that love is not about any of these categories, any of these boxes that I've checked off. It's because of God's infinite love that I can really trust that love as infinite, as unconditional. So it's when I connect with people who are different that I really most profoundly connect with God. It's sad and it's ironic. Actually, it's tragic and it's frustrating for me that right now the United Methodist Church is having a really hard time with that. At General Conference over in Portland, Oregon, our church is literally debating about whether or not we're supposed to be nice to gay people. They wouldn't put it that bluntly, but in the debate, that's the way it's working out. Do we have to be nice to those people? And Jesus says, if you don't have to be nice to them, what makes you think God has to be nice to you? We're having a real hard time with that. So here's your homework. Get close to somebody who's different. Now, that might mean that you need to go find somebody who is from Zimbabwe or somebody who's gay or somebody who's in a wheelchair or some real big, obvious difference. It will probably be that you don't have to go find them. It will probably be that they're right next to you having a hard time because you haven't connected with them. You haven't even noticed them. So there will be some of those. But let me warn you, the really hard ones will be people who are closer than you think. People who have different needs than you do. People who see things differently than you do. People who are a different age than you are. So they have a different view of the world. If you're real young, you need to connect with somebody who's on a walker and imagine what life is like that. And if you're one of those old people, you need to get to know these young people and their energy and what they need in order to feel belonging, in order to feel loved. We could practice on each other. We could practice loving across the gap of our differences, because it's those differences in which we realize that we are one in the Spirit, that love is actually truly unconditional. And then finally, it is we ourselves who can come home and belong. And that great circle, that loop gets connected, that started way back at the Tower of Babel when everybody discovered they have different languages and they had differences, and so they didn't get along and they split up and nothing happened. And then finally we can come full circle and realize we all have the language of love. We all have this experience that we are God's children. We all belong. Even us. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, for the gift of our oneness in your love. As we are about to baptize Elias into this one love, so you include us every moment. And we pray that we might open our hearts to your love, so that we might find our own belonging, our deepest, truest selves, in the whole human community, in all of creation. God, we are one. Help us always to be one. Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of your Spirit, for the power of your love. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.